Good morning, and we would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church on this Easter morning. Our radio this morning is sponsored by Sandy Hall for Andrea's birthday, and our flowers are provided by Dale Wickman for Judy's birthday. This week's birthdays and anniversaries: on the 17th, we have Pam and Roger Weddle's anniversary. On the 20th, we have Judy Wickman's birthday and David and Linda Isom's anniversary. On the 21st, we have Zane Weddle. 22nd, we have Matthew Weddle. On the 23rd, we have Sammy Harrison. And on the 24th, we have Marissa Rogers. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be very appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. We have a few radio announcements for this week. Our monthly community meal will be this coming Saturday, April 23rd, from 5 to 7 p.m. Please join us at 333 South Chestnut Street for a delicious meal and fellowship. Then our spring craft and vendor show is coming soon. Saturday, April 30th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., we will open our basement for those that love craft shows, so mark your calendars today. This morning, we will have a scripture reading from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, followed by our sermon, Easter Transportation.
Beautiful choir will be singing, "Up from the grave he arose."
I would like to point out something that Mark showed at the beginning of the service, and hopefully maybe he can show it again at the end of the service. It was a video from the conference of the United Methodist Church of Indiana, and it said, "What is the church?" And it reminded us that as beautiful as this church is, and she is the most beautiful church I have ever seen, and I am 100% in love with the stained glass windows, the gorgeous woodwork, and everything about this church. What truly is the church is all of you. All of you together are the body. The church universal is all Christians. That is what the church is.
Amen. All right. Again, our scripture reading is from John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. The empty tomb. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the stripes of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you had carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told him that he had said these things to her. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God. You know, that just caused me to shudder and tremble as she read. Rabboni, she turns around and what was once blocked from her is now fully revealed, and she realizes that this is Jesus, and that he is indeed alive. It just makes me, as the song says, want to tremble. I have the words to another song that I would like to read for you. Resurrection power. There is power in his name, for the stone was rolled away. Mountains bow down before Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Mighty Savior, lifted high, King forever, Jesus Christ. Crowned in glory, raised to life, the same power lives in us. We will rise, stand and sing of our great and matchless King. Seated high on the throne, you shall reign forevermore. Mighty Savior, lifted high, King forever, Jesus Christ. Crowned in glory and raised to life, the same power lives in us. The grave could not contain the power of his name. Death you overcame once and for all. The grave could not contain the power of his name. Death you overcame once and for all. Mighty Savior, lifted high, King forever, Jesus Christ, crowned in glory, raised in life. Romans 8:1 backs the song up. It says the same power that lived in Jesus also lives in us. You know,
I think that Indiana has bipolar weather. You can experience 2, 3, or 4 seasons all in one day sometimes. But then I look at weather in such places as Antarctica and different places, and I think we don't really have any problems whatsoever. The eyes of our nation have twice been riveted on Antarctica and the need to rescue medical personnel from a weather station there. Happily, both rescues were very successful, but they had to be conducted in weather conditions that were exceptionally hazardous for flight. Air crews had to wait for precisely the right time to make each rescue attempt. The rescuers knew they wanted and needed to get to that weather station, but it seemed to them that it was all but impossible. I'm wondering if that pertains to us as far as Easter goes. Do we need to be transported into the reality of Easter? Is it an event? Is it a lifestyle? Is it something that we celebrate year after year because that is what we are supposed to do? Or is it something that causes us to tremble? Is it something that when those scriptures are read makes goosebumps stand up on you? Is it something that drops you to your knees in reverence and awe? Or is it a custom that throughout your family you have celebrated? We are like Mary as described by John, and on this text we focus this particular Easter sermon. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. So caught up was Mary in an assumed loss that she could see nothing more. She hadn't yet gotten to Easter. Maybe, perhaps, the transportation that we have selected, the vehicle we have selected, is not equal to the task. Some actually don't sense a need for any kind of transportation Easter. For them, Easter isn't an event that connects with them in any way personal. A trip isn't called for. It is an event that is saluted and acknowledged, much like President's Day. It is a day, it is a holiday, we recognize that it is a holiday, but it has no personal meaning to us. There is a disconnect between the day as announced and the day as it is lived. We have nothing against old George or Abe. It's just that they were then and we are now. And there seems to be no wedding between then and now. A young seminarian once received his paper back on systematic theology. Systematic theology almost killed me. It was so intellectual and so far over my head, and the professor was so intellectual. He had like 5 different degrees. Were it not for the passion by which he taught the class, I would have tuned out altogether. It was by far the hardest class that I've ever had, including my state EMT classes. But he was a fantastic teacher that helped everybody to get through it. I'll never forget, one of my best friends, Anne Marie Walker, felt at the time that she could not make it through the test, and she stayed home in bed. So when I got back and I found her home in bed, I called the professor, and I said, please, Professor Miller, please give her one more chance. I'll make sure that she'll be there tomorrow morning. And he said, are you sure, Angel? I'm putting my job on the line with this. I said, yes, Dr. Miller, I'll have her there. Then I went in, jumped up on the bed, started kicking her in the booty and said, get up. You are going to pass this class no matter what happens. This professor, having had written a stinging comment, said, I would call this paper Notes for a Paper in Systematic Theology. You have all kinds of material here, but you don't do anything with it. Does that sound like us sometimes? We have all kinds of material, all kinds of resources. This church in particular is steeped in the Word, and I am seeing her do something with it, and I am extremely proud of her for that. Of course, there are other times when we wish that we would ride the vehicle of reason to Easter. We do our best to become theological engineers, asking how questions. We endeavor to analyze our way to the resurrection. Well, beloved, let me tell you, that just won't work. Reason in and of itself, intellect in and of itself, is often the greatest stumbling block that we have to faith. If we could analyze and dissect Easter until it fits nicely into the contours of our minds, what would we in fact have? Not the miraculous event, that's for sure. Imagine going to a world-class art museum, and as you walk in the door, across the room is a painting that makes you gasp. And you are drawn to that painting. You walk right by everything else, drawn to this painting. Now, what if you were to research this painting and find everything you could on the painting? Who was the artist? What type of paints did he use? Who was the community that gave rise to this painting? You would have a lot of facts. You would have a lot of figures. But you would not have what makes a person gasp. When they walk in and they see that painting, you would not have the beauty in the eye of the beholder, because each beholder views that painting just a little differently. As Pascal put it, the heart has its reasons, of which reason knows not, as we feel in a thousand instances. May we all today be stirred with the renewed awe and reverence for this Easter, for all Easters, for who Jesus is in our life, for who he has been and for who he will be. If we knew about the mechanics of Jesus' resurrection and could reconcile the varying accounts of where and to whom Jesus revealed himself, what would we really have? We would have the outsides, but not the insides. The shell, but not the core. Not what is absolutely essential. Halford Lukoc said it well. No doctrine can live in the intellect which does not renew itself in experience. And sometimes it is intellect itself that blocks that faith. For our heart reasons separately than what does our mind. Then again, we sometimes head towards Easter on the shoulders of other people's faith. And beloved, that's okay. I don't know about you, but I've had many a times in my life where things have weighed me down so badly that I needed the hope of another person's faith, that I needed to cling to their faith until my own could be renewed. So many times, things hit us and knock us down. And we know because we know because we know that God is with us. He has not left us. And if we feel alone and destitute, it is us that have moved. But that does not help us to restore our faith. And frequently when we're down that far, we fear saying anything to anyone. And that is the very time that we should go to others and ask them, will you please pray for me? Early in a novel of John Steinbeck's, Of Mice and Men, George and Lenny are rootless men who till the soil, and George takes special care of Lenny, whom we would describe today as being significantly challenged. George is the keeper of Lenny's hope. Early in the novel, George says to Lenny, guys like us that work on ranches are the loneliest guys in the world. They got no family. They don't belong no place. Lenny is delighted with what George says and responds, that's it. That's it. Now tell them how it is with us. So George continues, with us it ain't like that. We got a future. We got somebody to talk to that gives a darn about us. Lenny breaks in. but not us. And why? Because I got you to look after me and you got me to look after you. And that's why. Lenny then asks George to go on, and George responds, "You got it by heart. You can do it yourself." But Lenny, wanting to ride on the shoulders of George's hope and faith, says, "No, you. Sometimes I forget things. Tell us how it is. Tell us how it's going to be." And back and forth, George and Lenny telling that he knows the full story too, but Lenny always saying, "No, you tell it. It ain't the same if I tell it. Go on, George. How I get to tend the rabbits." Isn't that the way with storytelling sometimes? We begin to tell a story, and those around us who know bits and pieces of the story add their beloved parts to it, expanding the story into something worth hearing. This is something that we do for each other all the time. A young teacher gets discouraged, and a seasoned teacher paints the larger picture. A young medical student gets lost in the maelstrom of unending deadlines and exams, and the seasoned physician points to the ultimate destination. This is why you came to medical school, because we regularly need blood transfusions of the hopes and the faiths of others. Transportation to Easter, we all want it, but there is a further angle to this news, and it is good indeed. We don't need transportation to get to Easter, because Easter finds us. Go back to Mary standing at the tomb weeping. They have taken the Lord, and I do not know where they have put him. It's clueless. Transportation wouldn't do her any good anyway, because she wouldn't even know where to go to look for her Lord. At this point, Jesus enters the picture, but she doesn't even know that. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. She thinks that he is the gardener. Transportation to Easter. We all want it. But do you suppose that we're on the right track in doing that? I'm not sure we are. In fact, I've come to the conclusion that sometimes we are off track in talking. Easter is Easter. The risen Jesus coming to Mary. She didn't have to seek. Jesus sought her out. Jesus utters Mary, and immediately she realizes that he is not the gardener, but she is standing in the presence of her rabbi, the one who said that he would rise again. I'm as sure as I can be that Easter has or soon will come to you and to me in a very personal way. If it does not seem to be so, it may be that you, like Mary, are seeing but not yet seeing, supposing him to be the gardener, our text says of Mary. Remember that time when you were in deep despair and felt like it was 3 o'clock in the morning and you were all alone. And then suddenly, the despair lifted, and it was more than the antidepressants that did it. Help came, and speaking figuratively, you thought it was the gardener, but it wasn't the gardener. It was Jesus Christ himself who came and helped and lifted the cloud of despair. Do you remember a time when your vocation that you once loved and rose daily to go into that vocation all of a sudden became a Monday job, and you could not stand to go in and drudge through the day? And then that was lifted, and once again that beloved vocation became exciting. Help came through, and it wasn't the gardener, it was Jesus Christ. And how about that occasion when you gave up on that son or that daughter, the outrageous, compulsive, one that runs? Your parental agony wasn't a matter of months, but several years. Then one day, the would-be adult became an adult and walked across that stage, wrote you a letter of apology, or simply stopped fighting with you. Help came through. What you thought was the gardener was not the gardener. It was Jesus. Mary Odin puts it beautifully. As we stumble through the cobwebs in the midnight mist, filled with loneliness and despair and bent double by our burdens, the whisper of God's love can penetrate the mist. Even from the underside of the soul, we know the outcome of the story. And we do indeed know the outcome of the story, even in the darkest of nights. We do not have to remain entombed in dark night. We do not have to wrap ourselves in the grave clothes of self-pity, blame, bitterness, cynicism, suspicion, or vengeance or anger. We do not have to become like the sea creatures of the deep who make bizarre adaptations to survive severe cold, pressure, and lightlessness. We are the Easter people called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. There are times when we rightly strain to achieve what we want. Easter is not one of those times. God in and through Christ is our achiever. We are the beneficiaries. There is no transportation to Easter because it isn't required. God at this very moment is rolling away stones and calling into tombs, "Come out, come out, come out." Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Please join me in listening to an Easter hallelujah.